Adam.
Monsieur B.
Ouais. Travis.
Hey yo.
Hey yo. So, I'm wondering, do we think that I am very hackable or very hard to hack because I'm so awesome?
I'd say the former.
I forget what I said first.
Very hackable.
Very hackable. Well, yeah. think of it as that you are irresistible. And to a hacker, we are all irresistible. We are all Beyonce, Jay-Z, Sharon Stone, Adam Levine, all those guys.
Well, speaking of irresistibility, actually, that makes me think of COVID, weirdly, because it does seem increasingly as though it is the most irresistible virus that you must make friends with at some point or another in your life, because it's just spreading. And with that, I was reading today that a lot of folks now, in addition to having the threat of COVID out there, they don't have health insurance. And they don't have health insurance because during COVID, they lost their job. Or they decided, life is short, I'm going to become a freelancer, and they don't have insurance because they're now freelancing. And
which could actually shorten their lives without health insurance.
For sure. But I think also, like, whenever there's a big change, whether you're moving, whether you're changing jobs, or
a life event.
It means that you're vulnerable. And so I'd imagine that with COVID rates going up, we're also probably seeing people get scammed and hacked a bit more than usual during COVID. Anyone have any stats on that?
Well, I remember seeing one stat that between February and June of 2020, COVID-related scams, but then again, nobody really knew about COVID, but COVID-related scams increased by something like 30,000%.
Or like right in the, because it was new.
New.
So people
and
are
scary.
Like, what is this thing?
And everyone was panicking.
It's like ultimate social engineering vibes.
First it was like, we needed to be updated. So anything that had the words COVID update, people maniacally focused on that.
Then news about it. Like,
and then you had the scams where it was COVID tracking.
Yeah. Right?
Because if you had a problem or you became a patient with COVID, they would then try to contact anyone that you came in contact with. So there was contact tracing. Then everyone was paying a lot of attention to when are the vaccines coming? What are the vaccines? And where do I get tested and where do I get the vaccines?
Yeah. I mean, but also the contact tracing, I remember when that's why I was wondering, Travis, if like hacks and scams went up during COVID, because contact tracing is a great example of like this new thing. Nobody knows what it is, but obviously it requires some personal information and it could get you hacked.
I mean, hacks and scams definitely increased. Obviously the COVID scams increased, but one of the other things too is that you suddenly had everyone working from home. Well, sudden you had businesses and offices emptying out.
Right.
So everyone was more reliant on email, more reliant on Zoom. And that just opened up the door for a wide number of other scams.
Because it put them in the sweet spot.
They never let a good crisis go to waste.
This week's episode is about what happens when you take your eye off the ball. In terms of not really paying good attention to your password hygiene, not paying as much attention to what information you're entering online. And generally, just it's the moral of it is the need to be careful online, and the need to act with intentionality.
Welcome to What the Hack, a show about hackers, scammers, and the people they go after. I'm Adam, cyber hygienic human.
I'm Bo. Cyber slob.
And I'm Travis, cyber snob.
And today on the show, we're talking to a man with a cult-like following for his street photography and work in fashion, the rakishly handsome photographer, Daniel Arnold.
Thank you.
I just got back from France, and there was a lot of stuff I couldn't stream because I was in the wrong region. But using NordVPN, I was able to stream everything.
I use NordVPN too, but it's more to protect my private data, like bank details, passwords, and online identity. There are a million trackers online that are just sort of watching you, and NordVPN is a great way to get around those.
NordVPN can switch your virtual location, allowing you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price.
If you're traveling and you're using public Wi-Fi, NordVPN can protect you wherever you are.
It's not just that. NordVPN also comes with threat protection, which helps protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites.
NordVPN is the fastest VPN in the world, and it'll only set you back the price of a cup of coffee a month.
To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/WTHack.
And hey, there's no risk. It's a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Check the link in the podcast description. This spring, get out there, enjoy the weather, and recapture the magic of riding a bike with Electric E-Bike.
With an amazing variety of models built for riders of all abilities, it's never been easier to fall in love with riding again. Plus, every Electric E-Bike ships free and only requires quick, toolless assembly.
This is my first ever e-bike, and the experience has just been great. I was a little bit intimidated at first because I hadn't gone biking in a while, but the 500-watt motor that the Electric E-Bike comes with really gives you a nice little boost, especially if you're trying to go uphill or pick up some speed.
Data shows that e-bike riders take their bike out more often. That means you get more exercise, more exploration, and wait for it, fresh air.
And riding an e-bike isn't like, it's not cheating. It's just making it possible for you to be out there longer on each ride. And speaking of things going a little slower, you can finance Electric E-Bike for as little as $49 a month.
Get into spring with Electric E-Bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com. And please mention that What the Hack with Adam Levin sent you in the post-checkout survey.
That's Electric ebikes.com. I'm sitting at home. It's a Sunday. It's a nice day. I'm out in Connecticut. Sun is shining. I don't know if the sun was shining. Birds are flying around because they're always flying around. Kenneth the bear was somewhere in the woods. And I'm looking at Instagram, and my very best friend on Instagram has been hacked. And so I get in touch with him, and I'm like, yo, man. And what did you say?
I said, yo.
Yeah, so Daniel Arnold, it's a photographer friend of mine who I met in a weird way.
Now, was that a deep-throated yo, or was it a yo? Or was it a Travis yo?
I said it with my mouth wide open.
Travis, show us how yo is done.
Yo.
Yeah, he does. He's got the voice. Yeah, yeah. So I think I remember that somebody bought something via PayPal, your PayPal account, and you were having a dispute with PayPal. That's where I entered the story. What happened?
I feel like you should know that this all happened in the midst of a second identity complication, because I was trying to sign up for health insurance, and I went to a site that I thought was the government site, typed in my information, and then as soon as I hit enter, I realized it was some spammer hub. And from that moment, for days on end, my phone was ringing like 15 times an hour.
Whoa, Adam, was it you?
Bo, you said you'd never talk about this.
Oh, yeah, I apologize. It was Adam. Yeah, it was Adam. But no, so...
Daniel, I needed to talk to you. I needed pictures to be taken. I needed this.
Did you happen to catch the URL of the website?
I do not remember, but I bet if you Google New York State of Health, it's the first entry.
So it was like one of the ads on top. So you went
New York State Department of Health. Okay.
So you went on. Remember, Travis, his Google bubble might be different from yours, but.
Are you implying that all Google bubbles aren't alike?
Listen, if we all were to pull down our Google pants, everyone would have something different.
So you're talking about Google butt?
But I wasn't actually talking about the butt, but I'm. So everyone's Google bubble is different, and
I take offense at that.
No, because our Google bubble is like older gentlemen who try to race people in Toyota Corollas with a race car. That's what we do
for pink slips.
So Adam and I have a thing where we drive around together in a super fast car, and we challenge people in cars that are barely running to races for fun.
How to live?
Yeah, we have a lot of fun together. It's a Saturday Night Live skit without an audience and no laughter. So. How long after going on that fake health insurance site did this attack on your PayPal happen?
Okay, well, look, since we already have our pants down, I'll give you the full. I was maybe 15 minutes out of having made this mistake, and my phone had already rung 7 or 8 times.
What kind of phone calls?
It was actual people trying to sign me up for some kind of health insurance.
No. Stop right there. Have you ever signed up for solar power or anything that is subsidized like solar power? When I put my number into that, I got those phone numbers. I got those phone calls. There's jobbers out there whose job it is to like wait for the lead and then call and nail it. It's like a
Glengarry Glen Ross, but for solar.
Yep. 100%. Okay, so you start getting a ton of phone calls from like weird guys who you suspect are wearing sweatpants.
Yeah. And the anxiety drove me straight to the toilet where I was sitting. And I got an alert.
Without Google pants.
With no Google pants on. I got one of those alerts, the two forms of identification alerts where you get a little code that you're supposed to enter into a site. And
two-factor authentication. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know from where.
Okay.
You know, I don't think they usually identify themselves. You just get like, this is a one-time thing, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't immediately equate it with any kind of trouble because I don't know about you guys, but I'm always getting emails like, you requested a new Facebook password here, enter to take care of it. And it's not me, so I delete it. I'm like, okay, someone's trying to hack me, whatever. So I didn't think much of it, except that like seconds later, I get a purchase confirmation from something called Foot Patrol, which I've never heard of. I'm like, oh God, that's strange.
So that's different than like Paw Patrol, which my 9.5-year-old watches.
Yeah, it's much worse than the Paw Patrol, the human-sized version. And so I race off the toilet. And so I go and I open up my bank history and see that I've made a significant purchase of shoes from this website, this British website, that are being delivered to... So, I looked it up on Google Image or whatever, the Google Maps, and it's like straight out of a piracy movie, like some aluminum siding warehouse in the middle of nowhere in England.
Were they cool shoes at least?
No, they were like $400 really nerdy New Balances.
So not Air Jordan, that's for sure. Then.
There's such a thing as $400 New Balances?
Yeah, or maybe 300. It was pounds, so you know I didn't.
But you went on Google Earth and you actually looked at the place.
Yeah.
Oh, and what?
There's
and
it looked, a place for.
And it looks and it looked like a Broadway. No, it looked dumb.
I mean, it looked like a place where someone would end up getting shot. In a long chase with the cops.
So now we're watching an episode of Law and Order through Google, right?
Yeah. It was more, it reminded me specifically, did you guys watch those Small Axe movies?
No, I didn't, no.
Okay, well, there's one Small Axe movie where there's a police chase that leads them to this warehouse, and it looked just like the warehouse in the Small Axe police episode, if that does anything for anybody. But anyway,
Travis is diligently looking it up right now.
It's true.
Okay, so I'm hacked. And this has never happened to me before. And so I you know, go into the usual powerless scramble of trying to get in touch with any kind of human to run it by them. And I managed to lodge some kind of, you know, robo complaint on PayPal and figure that that's going to be the end of it. You know, I've heard so many stories of you just get reimbursed and it's not an issue. And I have had this same PayPal account for literally 20 years, which was one of the scary side discoveries of this whole experience, that I'm older than I think I am. But PayPal just shut me down. The first round, they just, you know, I got a robo no. And then I requested deeper investigation and talked to somebody through some, you know, like on-site instant message helper service. And they reviewed the case. I made them do it twice. And both times they came back and said, no, sorry, you bought those shoes. As if somehow after all these years, I got desperate and needed to steal $200 and get free shoes from
PayPal. So your first reaction is, you're not my pal anymore.
Yeah, no.
But also, you would never wear, in your entire life, you would never wear nerdy, expensive New Balance sneakers. So your Google bubble was also being betrayed here in the...
Yeah.
I mean, that's not weird.
In the wrong size. They're sent to the middle of nowhere in England. I mean, and also, I forget this part, but when it happened, I also got one of those alerts saying there's suspicious activity on your account. Did you make this purchase? And I said no. But then somehow...
From PayPal?
Yeah.
Huh.
But I guess that they changed their minds in the course of me trying to complain.
So Bo and Adam, you guys know I'm a bit of a privacy geek, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, totally. I really just don't like the idea that just about anyone can find you online, can find out where you live or your email address or your phone number or anything. I just think that entire idea is super creepy.
There's so much of my data already out there, but is there something that you can do?
Yeah, actually, you can use Delete Me. Delete Me is a service that pretty much does the heavy lifting for you, where they go to all the data brokers that they have on file. And just pull your data and delete it on a regular basis.
I use it. I like it. And they make it quick, easy, and safe to remove your personal data online.
Well, yeah, with these data brokers, they can accumulate huge amounts of your personally identifiable information. And if all that information gets into the hands of a bad actor, that opens you up to a lot of risk.
And if you act now, you can get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/WTH and use promo code WTH. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/WTH and enter promo code WTH at checkout.
That's joindeleteme.com/WTH, promo code WTH, which stands for What the Hack. And we thank you for supporting Delete Me and What the Hack.
So you're told by PayPal, sorry, buddy, you bought the sneakers.
Yeah.
It does not seem like the right answer in this day and age of widespread scams.
No, I was really surprised. You know, I give up easily.
Okay.
I let it go. I changed my password immediately to something that, you know, I'm sure will lock me out of PayPal for all time to come. I'll need another hacker to get myself back into my account.
Travis can help you there.
There you go. I got your back.
Thank you. And you know, I just accepted the loss and moved on, because it's what tools are left in my arsenal.
Well, the tool that we talk about pretty often is a website called Have I Been Pwned?
Uh-huh.
Not sure if you've heard of it or checked it out.
Bo introduced me.
As I recall, you went on Have I Been Pwned, and what was your password hygiene like? Were you using different passwords that were super complicated on every different site that you went to, or did you have
I have recurring passwords for sure.
Like, and are they like Daniel Arnold likes to buy things? Is that your password? Or
No. I mean, they're not like nonsensical strings of numbers and letters, but they are arbitrary and, you know, case varied enough that, you know, it wouldn't be something that you would guess.
Okay. But it would be something that Adam I'm guessing you're thinking, if it's not guessed at, it could be discovered.
Well, that's the issue, is that even if you have the most indecipherable password in the world, if you use it in more than one place and any one of those places suffers a compromise, it is now a discovered password.
Yeah. Was it? And was it when you went on Have I Been Pwned? Had it been discovered?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Speaking about discovered, how did you and Bo discover each other?
Oh, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfair.
Can I tell them, Bo?
But it's a secret. It's about my secret identity, though.
Yeah, Bo's secret identity as a fashion model. I photographed him for a holiday fashion campaign.
Now, I didn't know, full disclosure, I didn't know you were the photographer.
True. That was where we met. He didn't know I existed.
Bo was Zoolander before Zoolander was Zoolander.
Yeah, my first penetrative impression of Bo was that he was holding this rabbit as it peed all over him, and he said, if this bunny doesn't take a break, it's going to have a heart attack and die. I was like, oh, here's a guy who knows what he's doing.
Hey, you know, and I was right, and that bunny did take a break, and he had a much better day after he met me.
For sure.
Because that bunny was like, what the hell is going on here, man? It's a dance party, and there's a flood outside, and there's all these weird people. And you were taking pictures, and you came by, and I was like, hey, man. And you're like, hey. And I was like, who are you? And you're like, I'm the photographer. That was sort of my big introduction to you. And then I went home, and I told my kid, who photographed me that day, and she fainted.
That part I didn't know.
Yeah, she did. She was like, oh, my God. How do you know? Because I think we followed each other on Instagram, and Ella immediately was like, how do you know Daniel Arnold? And I was like, you know, I'm cool. That's how. But so we met, on a scale of 1 to 10, was I a supermodel?
Oh yeah. You were the star of the day.
Hear that, Adam? Star of the day.
Wait.
To be fair, he was covered in rabbit urine, but yes. True.
I'm also seeing this chat thing going, tell them I was the star of the day.
Hey, you're not supposed to read that, Adam.
Little did you know, however,
yes,
the piss-covered man would help save the world from scammers.
No, it's true. I mean, wee-wee pad for bunnies by day, cyber security expert by night. You know, I forgot that the rabbit peed on me.
Yeah. I'm glad I could bring you back in touch with that.
I remember, though, I do remember distinctly that it was very warm. That pee was very warm, and it was everywhere.
All right, so.
Google, but I don't. We've had Google pants, rabbit pee pants.
Yeah, okay, Travis and I do not want to piss away here. This opportunity to ask these questions. So
piss away. Go ahead.
So if we go back to the hack for a second, I'm trying to get a picture of the scam. Like, what info did you give to this healthcare site? Like a password? What?
Name, address, phone number, and then I would guess like basic economic information, but nothing sensitive.
Wait a second. You didn't enter a password to give them to set up an account?
I may have entered a password. Interesting.
Yeah, there's always a way they did it, and this was the way they did it.
Yeah.
So you went onto the site, and they were like, hey, set up an account. You're like, cool, I want insurance.
Yeah, absolutely, here.
And then you entered in, I assume, did you enter in? Let's just do this, okay? What did you put in the login for your when you registered to get this insurance? Did you put in your email address?
Yeah.
Probably?
Definitely. Okay. No.
And then now it's time to put in your password. What are you going to put in there? Your password that you always use, the one that you can remember?
I would probably use like a previous incarnation of the go-to password, like something old and flippant, because, you know, it wasn't a site that I expected to use with any regularity. So I just use like a throwaway old password. And, you know, that way, if I come back and have to access it, I can kind of cycle through the catalog of retired passwords and, you know, get myself in.
If Daniel gave his biographical information and so his address, basic deets, would a hacker be able to use those to reverse engineer? And Travis, you can jump in if you want, his password, you know, to, you know, they have his email address. They have some passwords that he's used, at least one. Was that password the same as your Gmail account password by any chance?
I doubt it. I don't think so. My Gmail password is too complicated to use in such a throwaway capacity. But also, let's throw in here, because for me, this is a big mystery that I just let go immediately because it's too confounding. But somehow they received that verification number, which was sent as a text message.
Oh, The plot thickens. Travis, what are you thinking?
That could be SIM swapping, but usually if it's SIM swapping, they don't give you your phone back. So what they could have done is if you had a compromised account, they could have just swapped out whatever the number was.
Oh, and you know, there was also something in that first wave of reasonable PayPal fraud notifications where they, I don't know if this is just standard practice because it hasn't happened to me before, but in the kind of criteria for have you been hacked, is there fraud, they also asked me if I had authorized multiple address changes, and I hadn't done any of them. So I don't know if that's like a red herring where they just try to find out if you're a real person or if that's a legit inquiry. But there
was... Is it possible they tried to use two-factor verification and it didn't work and you just saw it not working on your phone?
Well, I don't know, because the successful purchase seemed to register, you know, seconds later. So I assume that it worked somehow.
Do you use two-factor authentication on any accounts where you have to, like, you get a code from the site that says, here's your four digits and you put them in?
Yeah. Well, and also PayPal's got that thing now where they give you the option to put in your password or to have a code sent to you.
And do you use the code?
I go both ways.
When this happened, were you using the code?
I mean, when this happened, I had no part in it.
Okay.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I can only guess what was happening. I mean, honestly, this is the first time I've really tried to think that through because it was so
confusing. Okay, well, let's see. Let's try. So you were sitting on the toilet.
Yes.
Where all great thinking is done.
Yeah.
Adam, true or false?
All my major decisions are made on the throne.
Yeah. So you're sitting there, and what happens? Let's just walk ourselves through this.
I get a two-factor authentication text with a code.
For what site?
I don't know.
The thing that bugs me. Adam, don't you always know where the two-factor authentication is coming from?
You should know.
Doesn't it say, Travis?
Not always.
Ah, shit.
So, in some cases, they'll just say, you know, this is your authentication code. Don't share it with anyone. And that's really all you see.
Or you see, also, you're right. So it's one of those things where you just see like a discrete number, but you recognize it as what PayPal always sends out, but it's not a phone number and it doesn't say it's PayPal.
I mean, I figured that it was just phishing spam.
So mine says PayPal. So when I get one from PayPal, it comes from the number 72975.
Is it always the same number?
Yeah. Look at this. Not that I use it too much, but So it's always the same number, and it says PayPal. Your security code is this. It expires in 10 minutes. Don't share this code with anyone. So Daniel, if you were to just search "don't share this code with anyone" on your messages,
yeah, you would think. Except that I'm super neurotic about deleting those things.
I'm with you. Me too.
I can't seem to have. I mean, it's such.
You
a
and Adam have so much in common. Thing. The throne, the neuroticism. Yeah.
Match made in heaven.
Oh my God. You signed up for this site. You got tons of phone calls. To me, that sounds like you went to what's called a jobber, which is, you know, it was a paid for advertisement. You said you were looking for insurance, and then every salesman in the world got in touch with you trying to sell it to you.
Yeah.
What I'm guessing happened is that you don't have the greatest password hygiene in the world, and whatever password you used when you signed up for that account was in there, and one of the salesmen wasn't a salesman. One of the salespeople was a crook.
Seems just as likely as anything else, yeah.
You have any other thoughts? Because that's where I'm going with that. I'm going with somebody, some crooked person who, you know, when I was a kid would have been wearing a plaid polyester suit in a used car's lot, had a side hustle, which involved, you know, like signing up for weird little jobber things and stealing people's information to use for identity theft.
Yeah, I think one of the other things is from what you're talking about, you saw on Have I Been Pwned, is a massive archive of previously breached or stolen information.
Yep.
So that could have been included in one of those things. Someone could have been on the jobber site, taken a look at that and said, okay, I have this information here. I'm going to connect it with this information here and then sort of move ahead to compromise your account.
Let me ask you this, as long as we're here.
Sure.
In the realm of these notifications about stolen passwords, I have found that I'll be alerted to a breach about an account where I have changed the password.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I just kind of disregard it because I've seen that this is a breach and it doesn't seem to account for the fact that I have addressed it, which makes it extra confusing to know how to do.
A lot of it will depend on the nature of the data that's been breached.
Yeah.
If it's something like LinkedIn or if it's something like Equifax or anything else where there's already a lot of other information on there,
yeah.
Even if you've changed your password, it still might have your answers to your security questions. It could have your home address. It could have just a whole lot of other information that can be leveraged because especially in the case of PayPal, especially if you've had a account for 20 years too,
yeah.
It's they always have some sort of way of saying like, I don't have access to that email address anymore. How, you know, can you help me get in?
Since there's really no way to know, because there have been so many particular points of vulnerability because of so many breaches that you see yourself on Have I Been Pwned?
Yeah.
Have you changed the way you approach your personal security these days?
Good question.
Not terribly meaningfully. I mean, I changed all my passwords and I've, you know, succumbed to doing the super complicated stuff that they want me to. I mean, I think the reality for most people is you don't want to make that as difficult as it should be because it's impossible to remember all your passwords and you end up being the one who's locked out.
But there's a way to get around that. A good
what?
Way
for Pray you. Tell. What?
Password managers.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
And
well, right, which is great unless it's the fluke time when the password manager inexplicably doesn't have the password. I mean, that kind of thing falls apart on me all the time.
Really?
I have systems where like I don't know if I should say this out loud in public, but I'll email myself the new password with a prompt that, you know, I try to put myself in my future shoes. Like if I can't get into my credit card, what am I going to search in my email to try to find the password?
I guess sorry to interject here, but the question is, do you reuse the passwords or are they all unique?
Yeah, when you changed them, did you make the 20 different passwords or did you get some repeats in there?
I probably still have some repeats.
Adam, would you talk to this guy, please?
Yep. Repeats? No bueno.
Yeah.
We're thinking like maybe you need to up your game a little bit. Can you help somebody who doesn't want to be helped?
Well, if you don't really want to mess around with a password manager, the one thing you can do is if you use, say, just Chrome or just Safari or just Firefox, if you stick to one type of browser, you can sync your email or your passwords across multiple devices. So that's one nice, easy way to do it. And if you really want the higher level of security, then you can get a full-on password manager. And there's some that can be tied, if you have an iPhone, that can be tied to your Face ID and things like that. So it takes a little bit of legwork to get it in place. when you get started, but then once after it's done, it's pretty seamless.
But there's also, and there's also like with the password managers, Daniel, fair enough, sometimes they don't record the password that you put in, or sometimes the prompt that says, would you like to add this password? It doesn't pop up because your computer's having an off day. Maybe it drank too much the night before. And it, I don't know why, but it happens. And
or maybe it's on the toilet. You never know.
It could be on the, you know, could be doing some important decision making on the throne. But the it does happen. And what I do, I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm just going to lie and say that I keep this thing that I'm going to tell you about offline on a zip drive that's encrypted and password protected. None of that's true.
In a safe at Fort Knox.
Yeah, it's not true. I, you know, ding, 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 ding.
Which is going to be Travis.
It's dinner time. No, I'm like, Travis loves my password story, which was for years, my password was ha, ha, ha.
All lowercase.
Yeah. And Travis knew it. Travis knew all my credentials. So it was actually laughable. But now I have a I won't say what I call the file, but I have a file where I keep all my passwords. And like for Apple, for example, I use a variety of Apple, not Apple. So let's just say Pippin, but it's not Pippin. And then I know that's my Apple account,
or
and
we'll
then
say I have my Orange password there.
But it's like it's that I can't believe I'm saying this in front of Travis because he's going to make fun of me. But I have like
it's
basically
fruit.
A very hackable list with everything on it.
Got it,
Travis. Do you think I'm doing a good job?
No.
Yeah. So, but it's better than Daniel.
Not so much.
But it's better than Daniel. No. And I'm on a show called What the Heck.
I'm so naive and kind of apathetic about all this. I don't know that there's a third party password manager option. Is that what you're telling me, that there's a certain
thing? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And on my file that I told you about that I keep that I shouldn't be keeping in a place where people can hack it.
Right, the joke. I don't really have.
I do have it though. And on that file it has the master password.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm really ringing the bell. For my password manager.
But Daniel, there is another alternative, and that is that you can create a series of disassociated words and use symbols instead of letters, and you can kind of mix the words up. Or you can have a root password, which has symbols, and then you put things in front of it or behind it to give you an indication of the particular website that you are interested in, but don't, you know, make it super obvious and come up with a really bizarre word.
Yeah.
But again, you know, we have to remember that even if you have, and it bears repeating over and over and over, is that even if you have the most indecipherable password on the planet, if it's discovered and you use it anywhere else,
yeah,
this is where Halo Doom.
But, you know, but hold on now, because Travis, let's make Daniel feel better.
Okay. Your beard is quite fetching.
It is. It's very fetching.
No, but let's make him feel better about his password management. What was the most popular password last year?
Wasn't it password or QWERTY?
I don't know. Travis, do you have a guess?
I'm pretty sure it was password. Password and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 are usually the top two.
So now you're doing better than that. And that's a start. A start.
Well, we think you're doing better than that. You haven't told us the password, which so don't tell the us the password.
Yeah.
Let's talk about password managers. You don't know about these things, Daniel?
No. I mean, I have the one that's built into my browser and my phone. And that's...
No, it's a guy. So it's this usually, like in your neighborhood, it may be a guy named Saul. And you go up to Saul and you say, oh, here's $5. And he manages your passwords for you.
All right. More personnel.
Well, I saw that you had a cat. You know, cats can manage passwords, I think.
Travis, help this man.
Sure. With password managers, the way that they tend to work is if you're using a web browser, there'll be a little browser plugin that'll just say, if you're entering in a password, it'll say, do you want to save this to, and then whatever the name of the password manager is. and the nice thing about that is most of the major ones will work across multiple devices. You just have to install the app to your computer or to your phone or what have you. It'll operate across, it'll work across multiple browsers. And again, with some of them, instead of just needing like one master password, so you don't want to have to be typing in some really long complicated thing that's the keys to the kingdom, you can just use your Face ID. You can use a few things that are easier for you to be able to use to unlock. And then what they do is they generate a really strong password for your other accounts.
Uh-huh. And also they'll tell you where you have questionable passwords. And it'll actually do a vulnerability test and tell you where you've got some problems and prompt you to make changes.
It's like a little voice comes and goes, what were you thinking?
But it's also like, it's kind of a pain in the butt because once you get going on that, you can sit there for, if you don't have great password hygiene, which I think nobody has perfect password hygiene when it comes to like paying for a parking meter or something. Or like movie tickets, that, you know, it will sit there with you all night being like, how about the Cinema East? Do you want to change that? And you're like, no, I don't. I want it to be Daniel Arnold Rocks. And then, you know, and then you just kind of go through.
I think the main thing to keep in mind is that passwords are such an easy vector for breaking into accounts, especially if you've been online for a while. So I try to practice good password hygiene now, but yeah, to your point, I probably have something from 20 years ago or the mid to late 90s or something like that that's floating around there that has whatever the equivalent is of ha ha ha, like ho 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 is the password on it. That still could actually have information about me that could be used. Especially
if it's something. Are you kidding me? Yeah, after you've given me all that crap, you have one of these?
Yeah.
You really just like went down 18,000 notches in my esteem. Man.
I don't use ha ha ha, but I can promise you that when I was like 13 or 14, it wasn't something where, you know, great password hygiene was front and center. So
hey, Daniel, listen, before we go, I got to ask this question.
Yeah.
You still getting a million calls a day?
I blocked a ton of numbers, and that surprisingly did a pretty good job of shutting it down. There are still a few that get through once in a while, but at this point, it's not the nuisance that it was.
Well, do you have a thing like RoboBlocker on your phone?
Never heard of it.
Yeah, it's an app, and there are a few different ones. I think Travis, you can back me up on this, but what it does is if something calls from a phone call that your phone doesn't understand, it's like, this is a new number, what it'll do is it'll force the person making the call to actually explain what the call is about. So most people hang up. And only those, now it creates a little bit of a problem because if it is somebody you know calling from a different number that they've never called from before, it makes it a little bit more cumbersome for the caller, but it's more protective for the person who they're calling.
And as always with any of these apps, be careful if you do install something like that, be careful which one you install. Never do a free one because what you're doing is you're giving them access to your call history.
And that includes your password manager for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So you become the product.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. All right. Is there anything, like, it doesn't sound like we solved your problem. Did PayPal ever give you back the money for the sneakers?
No, they just dismissed me. And
yeah. No, that's not an answer, Adam. Hiss all you want. What can we do for this guy?
Well, Bo, you could write him a check if you feel badly.
I could send him gift cards.
You could.
Travis, any thoughts here?
Main thing I've seen is that if you just keep on bugging them and bugging them and bugging them, you may at some point get someone sympathetic.
Well, sometimes if you go to an organization, and now a lot of insurance companies, financial institutions, and employers, but again, you're a freelancer, but they have programs available to help people through identity incidents, and the people who work for these organizations you know, they have protocols they use with a number of these financial sites. So when they call, they know the right person to call, the right number to call. They can get you some form of resolution to the problem that would be more effective than you would, because they do this every day and they know people.
Yeah.
So do you belong to a union or to any kind of insurance now?
Your insurance, yeah. Home insurance, auto insurance.
I have health insurance.
Self-insurance. Yeah,
health insurance probably
health
not.
Health insurers don't do that yet.
Yeah.
But there's also renter's insurance that makes it available. But you should definitely look into that. And because they really can be very helpful. We had a guest just the other day that went on LinkedIn, because, you know, normally people who are on LinkedIn that are part of an organization, that LinkedIn will have a list of other people that work at the organization. So what he did is he went to LinkedIn and he looked for anyone that had either fraud department, resolution, anything like that in front of, as part of their title.
That's smart.
So what you might want to do is see if you can find people who work at PayPal and somebody works in the fraud department at PayPal that you might be able to communicate with.
I will try that.
Or you can say, dude, if you want to really be my pal, help me here.
Then you could pay him. I think that's interesting, Adam. That's a pretty good idea. Maybe, yeah.
So for those people who work for PayPal, it would do a wonderful thing for our ratings and our friends.
Yeah.
If you might help us get this $400. I mean, what is $400 to PayPal? We're talking about couch change, lint. That's it. But it's meaningful for human beings. Anyway, look, Daniel, thanks for sharing your story.
My pleasure.
I'm sorry that it took something that sucked for us to meet, but hopefully...
Honestly, anything to get in this room, I would do again.
Huh. Well, go outside and put your social security number in like the bathroom wall of a bar.
Mm. Yeah.
It's great to meet you guys.
Yeah.
So if we go back to the beginning of Daniel's story, how did this all happen? The way it happened was he was searching for health insurance. A lot of people don't realize that when you go on Google and you're searching, that the first result could actually be an ad.
Yeah, often.
So you think it's, wow, this is really relevant because a lot of people go and it's the real deal, but it could be an ad. And as Daniel's story started, he was searching for health insurance. And it could well have been a totally legitimate site that a criminal signed up to sell for and was using that site as a way of gathering information about people and then using it to either sell other things or steal their identity. And it's despicable, especially when you're thinking about this is health insurance. Health insurance.
Totally. Well, I mean, I mentioned it earlier. I was looking for something also beneficial, this time for the environment. I was looking for solar panels online. And I know that the first result is often an ad. And I still, because I was really excited about saving the planet, I clicked the first link and I put in my information. And just like Daniel, my phone did not stop ringing for like a week. Because it was a jobber site where, you know, it was just going on to, and I didn't get hacked, but that's, you know, 101 when it comes to what we're supposed to be doing when we're online, which is like, stop, pause, look at it. Is it real? Are we sure that's the site we want to go to? I don't do it all the time. Do you, Adam?
Travis, are we sure this is a real story or an illustrative story?
Wait, did you just accuse me of lying? It's a true story. I really did sign up for solar power. No, seriously.
No,
different pro. No, but
you've been fetching about your solar roof for a while. No, I know it's a real story.
No, it's true.
I love you. Just a little kid.
I'm fine with it, sort of, except my ego is completely crushed.
Well, it's definitely a real story that the topmost Google search result is almost always an ad, and that those are usually set up in such a way as to be as enticing as possible. But one little tech thing here is that with Google Ads, if you have an account with that, it'll tell you how often people are going, seeing your ad, and how often they're clicking through to your website. So that actually helps them say, like, okay, 5% of people are clicking on this one. Ooh, what if I retool the ad? Now 10% of people are working on that. That really helps them sharpen their approach and sharpen their tactics.
That's why we'd love people to come and rate our show so it can sharpen our approach. And, you know, 5 stars are not a bad thing either, but, oh, sorry, didn't mean to promote.
Wow, really? Just you're just like those sites that call you and you don't realize that you've clicked the link.
Absolutely.
But, you know, this episode for me was just about, I don't know, the word that comes to mind is intentional, you know, being more intentional when you're online. In other words, like, I intend to go to adamlevin.com. And when I type in Adam Levin, the first result is almost always going to be the guy from Maroon 5. So I have to...
God, that's such a buzzkill for
me. I'm sorry, buddy, but it's true. And so, or Kenneth the Bear. But then, you know, the bottom line is I would have to make sure that I'm going to adamlevin.com. And if I'm looking for something, I'm not always so intentional. I'm not always looking at the URL.
No, and I want you to go. Travis and I want you to come to adamlevin.com. I mean, we all work hard, including you, to, you know, create a cool site for people.
I do. It's true. But there's also...
And while they're at it, they can come and listen to What the Heck and give us 5 stars. Oh, sorry.
Wow. Or passwords. Can we talk about passwords?
Passwords. Yes, passwords.
With passwords...
Travis... Yeah. Passwords.
With passwords, it's such an easy way for you to get your accounts compromised. It's the equivalent of leaving your keys in the ignition of your car and the door wide open.
That's quite a metaphor. Wait, there's a car or the house. There's two things here. I'm not going to drive your house away.
That's true, but you can break in and take your stuff.
And you can live in your car.
But
I could also just break into his house, steal his car keys, and put all the stuff I like in his house into the car and drive away.
They can do that too.
It's all about access, though. A weekly weekly secured account with a weak password is giving people access, especially if it's something you use on multiple accounts, especially if it's something you haven't updated in a while or that you haven't checked to see if it's been in a breach or anything like that. So if you do that, that just can give people the key to your house and your car.
Listen, we are all targets. All of us. Much as we'd like to think we're not, breaches have become the third certainty in life behind death and taxes. It's no longer a question of if, but when. And as we like to say, and it's true, there are so many people who've had their information exposed that it's the only reason why you may not have been hit so far is because you didn't click on the wrong link or they just never got around to you.
Well, I think one of the things that he brought up as well, though, is having the same PayPal account for 20 years. And that's one of the things that does keep me up at night. I know I alluded to this earlier, but just the sheer number of accounts we've set up. I don't know if you remember Friendster or MySpace, which if you're on social media, a lot of people don't really use anymore. That can be breached, and that's a sitting target. So if you had something...
Isn't that how we all met on Friendster?
Yeah, there you go. But if you set something up like that, those can still be a fount of good information about you, and it's really easy to lose track of. It's easy just to say, I haven't logged into Friendster since, 2003. And then if you think about it, does that have your friends and family on there? Is that a password that you were reusing at the time? Does it have pictures of where you were living or other, personally identifiable information? It might. Thanks to everyone for listening and hope you had a good time. We certainly did.
What the Heck with Adam Levin is a production of Loud Tree Media.
It's produced by Andrew Stephen, the man with two first names.
You can find us online at loudtreemedia.com and on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Adam K. Levin.